Do you crave deep and meaningful conversations? The kind of conversations that jazz you up, stretch your mind, and leave you wanting more? Welcome to Suzanne Says, Courageous Conversations about Life and Living. I'm your host, Suzanne Bird Harris, and I talk with friends and colleagues about what lights them up, their fears and flaws, who they've been, who they are, and who they're becoming. You know, the stuff that makes and breaks us. So get comfy. Here we go. Okay, Gail, so we had to extend this into a two-part because I refused to stop this conversation. So thank you for indulging me.
You and I always have some really great conversations when we get together and have the time to talk.
We do. So we're on this topic of here we are, women in the third of their lives, single, vibrant, thinking, feeling, curious, self-aware women. Contemplating what needs to be done to, if we're going to entertain a partner in life at this stage, two things we've agreed need to be true. Number one, we ain't just taking the first one that comes along saying, all right, let's do it.
Right.
And two, we need to know what we want. As in any other situation in life, we need to know what we want. Here's where I get jacked up by my own brain. This is my deal. I can create a list of characteristics or qualities that are important to me because I have experienced multiple relationships. I know what drove me insane about each and every one of them. And God bless them all. They're a very diverse group of men in many ways. I also am blessed to know what that thing is about each of them that made me go, ooh, hello. And it's also very diverse list of characteristics. So I feel like I have a good start at some data. So that's good. You know, the time has not been wasted. But I am no longer 17. I'm 57. So my priorities and my expectations are wildly different than they were 40 years ago. And on top of that, we have the unique challenge of contemplating finding another human to share our space, our time, our attention, our bed, our bathroom, our closet. I'm like, hold up. This cannot just be whomever.
Right.
This has to be someone that I can deal with. Because I'm not taking hostages anymore either. You know, I'm like, no, this is not going to be painful, or I'm not signing up for painful again. At least not knowingly. It's an interesting thing. So yes, I am creating a list of, actively creating a list of characteristics and qualities. Should I decide that a partner is something I want for my life? At the moment, the jury's at lunch on that one. Because I am very self-aware and I know that I have some other matters to attend to first that have to do with only me. So I am in the midst of being extremely self-centered while I get myself centered.
I understand.
From there, I will make a decision of yes or no, I'd like to entertain a partner for the rest of my life. And then God help me, if it's a yes, if it's a yes, I'm going to be very different about how I approach that than I did when I was 40 years younger.
I get it. I do. I do want a partner. So I guess I have made that decision. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm not willing to settle or for just to accept a lot of bullshit. I don't know how else to say that.
Look at you doing exactly what we were talking about way back when we first got on here about, I can't tell you what I want, but I can tell you in 20 minutes.
What I don't.
We're mm-hmm. very clear about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't want to get the guy that is not the shit list.
Right. Right.
That is not who I'm looking for.
Exactly. I agree.
So I got to figure out what the qualities are. Mm-hmm. Some guideposts for myself so that I recognize them when I meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, odds are fools walk by me more than once already, you know, and I wasn't paying attention. I mean, seriously, odds are that's true.
Yep, I agree. I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you. I need someone who is self-sufficient,
mm-hmm.
but wants to share. It's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a need. It's not a afraid of being alone.
Yeah, I can't handle that either because I'm not afraid to be alone. Mm-hmm. In fact, whoever is going to sign up for the hot mess that is me, they're going to have to know that I need copious amounts of alone time. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm up to anything nefarious at all.
Right. Right.
Which for me and me alone, I am currently entertaining the thought that, you know, it occurred to me. Remember when I told you that the first time I remember asking myself the question, I wonder where I was before I was here. And I was mm-hmm. three. Remember?
Yeah.
Well, also that little girl was thinking about, oh, I know I want to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
I was planning mm-hmm. my adult life at three.
Wow.
You know the most interesting thing that I have discovered or recognized about what I remember of being that little girl is I really didn't focus too much on the married part.
Mm.
That was not a part of the picture. It really wasn't.
Right.
It was like out of the frame. Not that right. It wasn't present,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it wasn't the focus.
Mm-hmm.
And now looking back, well, yeah, that's true. Talk about self-fulfilling prophecy, huh? Right. So for me now, well, maybe that means that marriage as our generation defines it and all its rules and regulations and what it supposedly means and how it supposedly binds you together. I ain't trying to be bound to nothing, you know?
Right. Right.
But at the same time, absolutely I am, you know?
Choice, the choice.
Intimacy, not being bound.
Right.
Intimacy right. is what I'm after.
Mm-hmm.
Not obligation.
Right. That's the best way to put it. I like that. Absolutely. We choose.
So I'm clear on that.
And the person, whoever we've chosen or whoever we choose, understands that that doesn't mean that we need to be entwined all the time. Like you said, you need your alone time.
Yeah.
I need my alone time. I know yeah. that about me.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain people where you can sit in the same room with and you don't necessarily have to interact.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know about you, but I have certainly spent a good chunk of my adult life being alone with people in the
mm-hmm.
room.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling both types of ways about it, being happy and all of that, and
right.
being like, damn it, what the hell?
Right.
You know, it has been both good and bad experiences of that. But yeah, I could go to the dang mall and be alone.
Right.
No yep. problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Although I find that one of the things that I know this person will have to be able to will have to be a part of who they are as a deep thinker. My person is going to have to want to engage in these kinds of conversations, or at least be willing to listen when I want to talk about this stuff, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
Because I get all kinds of bunched up if I don't get to talk about it with somebody. Hence, this podcast. Hello.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes a difference. It is important. It's part of who we are to have deep conversation.
If that person has that quality, then it stands to reason they're going to have a whole slew of other ones that facilitate that are also right. very amenable to right. cohabitation. One would hope, anyway. It's interesting. You know, I look at my parents. They were married 50 years, and yeah, they didn't make it look fun. They sure didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think you can be with the same person for 50 years unless they're just beating your ass every day of it and not have something
right.
connective about mm-hmm. you, something good, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know both of my parents had those things about the other mm-hmm. that meant
somewhere in there, they loved each other.
Yeah.
They had to be able to put up with each other's nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. And my mom said that, you know, the last 9 years of Dad's life, they lived out in Rose, out mm-hmm. east of Tulsa, mm-hmm. out there by themselves on 10 acres in the woods. And Mom said that those were the best 9 years of their marriage. And I can see how that would be true, because they too were at the place when they bought that place that I'm at now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of us girls were grown. We had our own lives. And, you right. know, they had grandkids, my children and my sister's kids. But their frontline duty. And really, I started my business in 2002. And so from that point forward, my kids were at home with me. But prior to that, when I was working, they were mm-hmm. at my parents'. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd drop them off in the morning. Mom would get them to school. They come home to their house after school. Mm-hmm. I pick them up after work. And if mm-hmm. I had to travel for work, they stayed at Grandma and Grandpa's. Mm-hmm. So they went to school in Grandma and Grandpa's neighborhood, not mine.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
So when I started this business in 2002, that freed Mom up. And Dad only had a couple years left until he was going to retire from American. And then my grandmother died, my mom's mom, mm. and left her some money. And that's what they bought that place with and funded
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and moved out there. And so, you know, they didn't leave me high and dry without childcare for my kids, because Lexi was 3.
Right.
She was 5 when they moved out there. But it's interesting looking back how the sequence of events allowed options to open up for various members
right.
of the work of my immediate world, you know.
My I had an older brother who was 14 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So he was grown. I mean, I have a niece who's only 5 years younger than I. Mm-hmm. She's she's in between you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of grew up together, and she's retired now. She was a teacher, so she's retired. She's an artist. She taught for a while. She taught art, but now she's doing her own thing. And it's so wonderful to watch.
Oh, I bet.
The creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see it in her siblings. My niece and nephew, my other niece has a daughter, and her daughter has a son, and her son just walked in a fashion show, Gucci.
Awesome.
So it's come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom was a seamstress. She went to FIT to learn how to do those things. So it goes full circle. It does. It goes full circle. Life is so interesting. I'm now at the point that I'm after my daughter, I want a grandkid. You have one. I don't have any. I want a grandkid. You know, it's time.
Yeah, if you're going to be old, might as well get some of the perks, huh?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I was 44 when Joe made me a grandma. Hmm. My mom was in her 40s when I made her a grandma with Joe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Zoe's 13 now, and I know that's crazy to think about, but... Yeah. You know, she's closer to adulthood than she is.
Yep.
Little bitty now. And, You know, so I might get to see some great grandkids.
Some great grandkids. Yep. How about that? Yep.
Maybe. And I have Kat and Damien as well, grandkids, Misty's son and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
They've told me that should they elect to have children, they will alert me so that I don't have any. I think they're worried about, like, they don't call me grandma because of two reasons. Number one, they think they're too grown. And number two, they don't see me as old enough.
Right.
So they call me Gigi, which is fine with me, you know. Zoe calls me grandma.
Actually, that's the name I have chosen as my grandma name, is Gigi.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
We talked about it, and they're like, "We just, you're not old enough not to be calling to be grandma. Sorry."
Right. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I'm like, "All right, Gigi will work." So yep.
I'll take it.
Yeah, they were all concerned that, you know, hey, we'll tell you if we're gonna make you a great grandma. Yeah. So you brace yourself, and I'm like, "Go on ahead." bring me great grandbabies. I don't care.
It's time. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, funny. I can put a car seat in my car for a grandkid just as easy as anything else.
Yep. I agree.
Slow me down much.
Nope. I ain't going nowhere where they can't go.
Yep. I might, you know, I took Zoe on that one trip. Saw you that at
I remember that was so sweet. I remember.
I'm gonna have to do that again while she's a teenager.
She and I did Dairy Queen. I don't want to embarrass her, but she had to go to the bathroom so badly and we tried to get there so quickly. Don't tell my grandma. I think she was all of five.
We got to Memphis, and I could have driven on to Tulsa,
mm-hmm.
but the girls were both like, okay, we've had the fun. This long-ass ride home ain't nothing fun.
Right.
We're done being in the car now. We need to stop.
Time to get out.
And so we stopped in Memphis and got a room for the night, and it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something, and mm-hmm. Lexi had car sickness.
Couldn't take it anymore, huh?
Yeah, she was sick of the car is what she was. So they went swimming and all of that, but it was so fun to watch how, like, Zoe the whole way, like from the moment we left Tulsa all the way getting back in the car, that last lead headed home. We weren't going to see anybody else. It was just drive home.
Right.
All that time up to that point, she had the most angelic behavior. Oh. Yes, Grandma. Okay, Grandma. No problem, Grandma. Blah, 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 blah. Boy, howdy. That drive from Atlanta to Memphis. I must have, if I had a dollar she had for enough, every time I said that girl's name, could have paid for the whole trip. Yeah.
She had enough.
Oh, my goodness.
That's funny.
That was wild.
That is funny. Yeah.
And Lexi, I think, was as much tired of Zoe and her mm-hmm. ready to get out of the car as she was herself, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Get me out. Oh. It'd be funny. I'm going to have to ask them at Thanksgiving what they remember about that trip.
That trip.
I think it would be fun to hear all these years later what they remember.
I think so too. That was fun.
I remember trips, you know, I remember one trip with my dad's mom. They lived in Akron, Ohio, and when we lived in Greenville, Pennsylvania. So it was only about like 70 miles between us. Mm-hmm. And so we'd go over and see them on the weekend. And one summer, we were over there, I think on Memorial Day weekend, and somehow or another conversation ensued that grandma wanted us girls to spend some time over there at her house without mom and dad, like give mom and dad a break kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But she was not sure she wanted to sign up for all four of us at once. So as often happened, mom split us into pairs, Kathy and I, number one and number two, and then number three and number four. So sometime in July, I think after the 4th of July, or maybe even the 4th of July, I don't know, some holiday weekend, we drove over, had the holiday with the family, mm-hmm. and mom and dad and Kathy and, or Jenny and Vicky went back home and left Kathy and I there with grandma and grandpa.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then the weekend, the next weekend, grandma and grandpa loaded us up, drove us home, picked up the other two and went back home.
Gotcha.
And then the following weekend, we went over and got them and came back home. I will never forget, you know, we used to play Count the Cows.
Oh, okay. Okay.
State highways, you know, it wasn't expressway. So we'd pass through all this farm country and you count the cows on your side of the road, and if you pass a cemetery, you lose your cows and have to start over counting. So when we played that mom and dad had us playing that game every time we went to okay. And so here we are in this big old green, we called it the pickle. It was a big old green Chrysler, uh-huh. big old boat of a car. With uh-huh. a black vinyl top. And grandma drove like a bat out of hell. Speed limits meant nothing to her.
Nothing to her.
And because she had us girls in the car with her, she would cuss at the other drivers, but kind of do pig Latin with it. Like she'd say, well, sis on you, pister. <You know? laughs> or something like that. You just mix up the words. Uh-huh. You knew uh-huh. what she was saying, you know? And oh my word, we were going so fast. I'm like, Grandma, I can't even count the cows. They're a blur. I got home and told my mom and dad that story at dinner.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, I got Grandma in trouble with my mom.
Driving so fast with her kids in the car.
Yeah, oh my goodness. And you know, this is in the 70s. We didn't have, that car didn't even have seat belts, for God's sake. Like, yep. And the younger two definitely belonged in car seats at that point, but that wasn't happening. Oh man. Yeah, she was something. That summer is the summer she was 72 years old, and that weekend in between.
Wow.
We went to the community, the rec center where the pool was, the community pool,
mm-hmm.
the town we grew up in. And grandma went down. She was the oldest person to go down the high slide. Wow. Yeah. And the lifeguards were all kinds of nervous. They're like, oh my God, we got this little old lady. Oh shit. And I'm like, there's nothing little old lady about this broad, trust me. You
right,
know?
Right, right. Right. So, grandma was pretty cool, huh?
Grandma, woo, she was full of piss and vinegar and was not bashful about it. She, and you know, her name was Eva Maisel Cook at birth.
Okay.
the hot second she turned 18 or whatever legal age was required, she changed her name, dropped Eva, and made her name legally Maisel.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm hearing this story in the 70s going, yeah, Grandma, Maisel ain't a cool name. It so perfectly fit her. She was so, like, thank God there was only one of her, you know? She was awesome, but boy, she was a lot. And no surprise.
Right.
My Aunt Phyllis, my dad's sister, they call her Maisel Jr. and they call me Maisel the Third. And I'm quite proud of that.
Uh-huh.
She was something else. That woman, she got married, had four kids. Her husband was a car dealer in Clendenin, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And ran moonshine in the cars on nights and weekends. He died in a truck running moonshine, had an accident and died.
Really?
Left her. She had loot, though. She, you know, because of the car dealership and I guess the moonshine money or whatever. So she buys a farm in southern Ohio, in Croton, Ohio. Now, this is like in the early to mid 30s.
Wow.
My grandma, with four kids, widowed, buys a farm.
Wow.
In southeast Ohio. She went home to Clendenin. That's where she was born and raised. And my grandpa, my dad's dad, had also grown up, gotten married, had five kids. His wife died of some sickness. I don't know what it was. I don't remember.
Wow.
So here he is, widowed with five kids. Wow. So they decide to get married, but grandma's conditions were, okay, look here. I have two sons that are about to become of age, and you are not telling them to go enlist or boot them out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
They'll leave when they get ready, and we aren't having any more kids.
Wow.
The Brady Bunch plus three, those nine kids and the two of them went to the... Now, actually, not all of his kids went because some of them were older and already out on their own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So only some of the younger of the five went to the farm. But my Aunt Phyllis remembers living with aunts and uncles that I have in West Virginia because they got married, I don't remember what year, 35, 36, 37, somewhere in there. My dad was born October 16th, 1939.
So they did have a kid?
Oh, yeah. There was no birth control in the 30s.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, the first thing I think about when I have that fact in my brain is trying to put myself in grandma's shoes to be the mother of four. Clearly done having children. I got enough. You got one more than me. We're good on the kid front.
Right. We done.
And to live in a time where your biology
could
screw you like that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, woo, I'm so glad I was born in 64. Lord have mercy.
Yep.
And then he also pressured Uncle Kenny and Uncle Arnold. But his biggest sin was the rumors coming back from Clendenin that he was messing around on grandma with a woman with a woman much younger than him and supposedly had knocked her up.
Wow.
So dad's born in October of 39. Grandpa's birthday is July 11th. The following summer... Now, to get the crops in or the cows out, well, I don't know if they grew crops or if it was a... Grandpa had a dairy farm in West Virginia, so it stands to reason that might have been a dairy farm too, but I don't know the particulars. But anyway, I do know enough about farm life that the summertime, there's a big rush in the spring, and the summertime is kind of like, huh, okay, what do we need to do to get ready for harvest or fall or whatever?
Right.
Grandpa's birthday is July 11th. He comes in, and he would go back and forth to Clendenin. He wasn't all that far. Because he would go over and check on his dairy farm. And so anyway, he comes in. It's his birthday. Grandma has made all of his favorite foods. All of them are on the table. Like, looking like Thanksgiving dinner in July.
Wow.
And he sits down and she's like, there you go. Happy birthday. And he pigs out and pushes back from the table, pats his belly. And he's like, thank you very much. That was very good. And she's like, you're welcome. Your bags are packed. Get the fuck out of my house.
Wow.
In July of 1940.
Wow.
Now, you tell me what size
cojones
my grandma had. She was either stark raving mad or stark raving mad.
Mm-hmm.
So, he left and went back to Clendenin. And married the grandma I grew up knowing as Grandma Bird, who was the sweetest woman. I loved her. Her name was Helen, and she was 28 years younger than Grandpa.
Wow.
And proceeded to have 5 more children.
Oh my.
With him. So I, too, was the niece to a 5 or 6 year old older aunt.
Gotcha.
My Aunt Jo. My Aunt Jo was born when Grandpa was 65.
Wow. Yeah.
So he had, my dad was a only child with 14 brothers and sisters. Yeah. So you want to talk about some crazy family math?
Yeah. So you get it. Yep.
And because the way their marriage ended was so contentious, Grandma then sold the farm and packed up and moved back to Akron. And she put Aunt Phyllis in charge of Uncle Bob and my dad. And she got a job as Rosie the Riveter.
Really?
In the factory.
Wow.
So she was Rosie the Riveter, and she worked nights. Slept during the day, so she was at home, mm-hmm. but asleep mm-hmm. during the day while the kids were at school. Aunt Phyllis had to get the boys up and get them off to school and tell them, threaten their inch of their life to be quiet when they come home.
Right. Wow.
And they had evenings. Yeah, it was crazy to think about her doing that, you know? So.
Yep.
She was not a rule follower, that one.
Mm-hmm.
I did a podcast episode with a friend of mine, Bill Ellis, and where I was the guest. And
mm-hmm. I did listen to that one.
Yeah. We talked about how he's the one that identified for me that persistence is my superpower.
Mm.
And he's right about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's right about that, but I hadn't called it that prior to that conversation. And now in this conversation, another dot just connected, because I know where I get that from.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My grandma was nothing if not persistent.
Right.
Once she made up her mind, you better get the hell out of her way or you were going to get mowed down.
Yep. She's going to make it happen. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I have a lot of respect for that quality in people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely. I get it. Yep.
She was not perfect by any stretch. I mean, she pretty much didn't allow talk of my Grandpa Bird.
Really?
My dad grew up. He didn't know my dad met his father the first time a year before I was born.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's some mess behind all that,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
for my dad, for everybody involved, and all those, the younger 5 in Grandpa's family, his younger 5,
mm-hmm.
grew up knowing about my dad. It was like he was the brother that was off to boarding school or something. He was a very palpable presence in mm-hmm. the growing up of those 5 kids.
Even though they didn't know him during that time.
Uh-uh.
Wow.
Uh-uh.
Wow.
So, you know, grandma had her issues. She had some pretty strong feelings that had some pretty big consequences for herself and people around her. So, you know, I don't look at her like she's some kind of, I mean, I have a lot of respect for a lot of what she did and the way she stood up for what she believed in was right. She advocated for her children, and even in the face of how things turned out for Dad and his childhood and all the issues that, you know, Dad had felt some type of way about being the only kid in the household with a different last name, but yet not allowed to ask questions about that. He would tell the kids at school his name was Estep, like his brothers and sister, when it very much wasn't. But he, you know, he went through a phase of not wanting to answer to anything but that. So, you know, that is when you look with clear eyes at the generations ahead of you.
Right.
You know, there was a long time I looked at those people and thought, oh, they know nothing of this struggle that I'm going through, this anguish that I feel. They were automatons. They were paper, you know, cardboard cutout people without feelings, without problems, without dreams and hopes and all of that. They were figureheads in my authority figures in my life. And as I grew up and got to know other people in the family, and because there's such jaggedy, it looks like a heartbeat, the ages of people in my family, how they overlap, and there's not a lot of room between so-called the grown-ups and the kids, depending on which way you look.
Wow.
You know, it was a really rich tapestry to grow up in. And all six of them, I was so blessed to have six grandparents growing up.
Wow.
All my childhood, I had six grandparents who could not wait to spend time with me.
Wow.
All six of them. You know, my mom's parents lived in the town we lived in. Till I was 13, we saw them every Sunday at church. They did the have us come over and spend, you know, that's the only time I watch Lawrence Welk is at grandma and grandpa's house on Saturday night. Cause mom would take us over there again, two by two,
right?
Take us over, spend the night at grandma and grandpa's. We'd have dinner. We'd, have a bath. We'd get in our nightgowns. Grandma would make popcorn, and we got popcorn, and we were allowed to have a glass of Pepsi on her carpet in the living room in front of the TV. And we watched Lawrence Welk and something else after that.
Wow.
And then we had to go to bed because there wasn't anything fit for children Saturday night after that. And then we'd go to church with them in the morning, and we'd go home with mom and dad.
Right. Yeah.
You know, now Zoe, she's got me beat. She's got me. She's got Tim and Debbie, Joe's dad and his wife. She's got her mother's mother and her partner. She has, Misty's mother, Joe's wife's mother is grandma to her. She's got all these, she's got like a squad.
The grandparent squad. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like it.
You know, so, you know, the upside of all these so-called broken homes is, you know, if you find a way to stay connected.
Right. And make it
even
work.
Even though it looks funny.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Even though it might be a little Swiss cheesy here and there. If you can maintain those connections, so, but by the same regard, Zoe's siblings, with the exception of one, she's got a brother and three sisters, two older and two younger, and the two older have never met their dad, have, as far as I know, nothing, no family from there. So,
really?
Yeah. So they have their mom's family. Zoe has that plus me and all of us, plus right. Tim and all of them.
Right.
And so it's an interesting dynamic in Zoe's household. You know, mm-hmm. I remember having to be careful because of my dad's mom, because she was no more open to the idea of her granddaughters going to Clendenin to see that beep, 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 beep.
Right, right.
Then she was her own son.
Right.
You know, so we were explicitly told.
Don't talk about that. Right.
Unless you want your ass beat, you know.
So, oh, Lord have mercy.
We didn't. We kept our mouths shut. And it was funny. Weird.
That is funny. Uh-huh.
Especially when we were in West Virginia and got asked, like the Spanish Inquisition, how's your grandma doing? How's Clarence doing?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So we're like, what's up with this? Okay, well, grandma, who's got the bee up your bonnet?
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
The older I got, you know, it got explained, and, you know, and now I understand. I can put myself in my grandmother's shoes and be my 30 years ago self,
right,
who thought a lot more
like that.
Mm-hmm. I imagine she was thinking, mm-hmm, at that time, mm-hmm, than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can totally identify with her.
Wow. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
I put my foot down and made a big mess a few times in my life too. Sure have. Not real particularly proud of it, but it happened and I can't change it now. So.
Right. Yep.
There it is.
Yep, I get it.
Let's look forward, shall we? Let's look forward.
Yeah, that trip down memory lane was fun. It was interesting.
Yeah, all of that is in the equation of, okay, what do I want from here forward?
Mm.
And how do I make it happen? And where can I look? Like, I see, this is what messes me up when it comes to defining what I want. It's not that I can't figure it out. I can figure out, like, what I have to do is say, okay, look, when you hear that question, what do you want? You interpret it and internalize it as the answer must include anything you can imagine you might ever want. Else you don't get it.
And that's why it's so difficult to define.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And I realized that a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, no shit, Suzanne, you're going to have a hell of a time, uh-huh, coming up with an answer that fits that.
Right.
So here you go, girlfriend. How about you take a chunk and figure out what you want for that chunk?
Mm-hmm.
And then do that for each chunk of your life,
mm-hmm,
or at each opportunity there is to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Start small. Don't, mm-hmm, overwhelm yourself.
Right.
And have some guideposts that will help you as you're making these little bitty decisions, not decide your way into the ditch.
Right.
You know, unknowingly. Keep one eye on where you're trying to go.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, all that shame and vulnerability work we did all those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you that I wouldn't be sitting here with the life I have now had we not done that then.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can claim getting through most days happy.
Mm.
Even in the face of drama coming at me from other people.
Uh-huh.
I can get pulled off my center. But my magnet to it is much stronger than it ever was before, and I snap right back a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring out, fleshing out who that chick is standing there, magnetized to the center of her being. Who is that?
That's
woman?
Sweet. That's the sweet spot. That is the sweet spot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's not even that I'm trying to figure it out so much as I'm trying to get to know her.
Mm-hmm.
She needs no figuring out.
Exactly. Okay. No, she doesn't need figuring out. You just have to make decisions that support her.
As her.
Right.
Let her drive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
And my control freak ass ain't going to let anybody drive my car I don't know very well at all.
I get it. Yep.
Before she gets to drive, I have to get to know her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My furnace went out this year. My AC went out in August. And hallelujah, Joe, one of Joe's brothers does heating and air for a living. So he's like, if you have any trouble, call me. I'll come help.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I did. And he replaced, turns out the board in my furnace was messed up. So he replaced that at cost for me. And which, God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
Got the air going again. But after that, long story short, my thermostat was acting schizophrenic. Like, I would set it on something like 74 at night and go to bed. We'd wake up, Lexi and I, to 59 degrees in the house.
Oh, my. What was that about?
I tried to monkey with it. I'm like, wow, it's, you know, hello, old lady with smart devices at the house. I'm like, I can build you a website, but please, God, get somebody else to program your VCR. You know,
don't
do those anymore. Huh, I missed that. Okay, problem solved, you know. I fiddled with it and I'm like, okay, never mind. I just turned it off in the middle of September. I'm like, you know what? If it gets hot again, and it did for a couple days, it's sweaty, but I'm like, fans, think about the people who lived in Oklahoma in 1820, or, you know, those people were roasting their butts. You can survive with the fan. And then it got cooler, you know, and
right.
Got cold last week. Like last week we had that cold, damp fall rain.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
You know, that just chills your bones and makes you want to stay in bed all day. Had a couple of those days and I'm like, oh, I need heat now. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to turn the no heat. Thermostat says, oh yeah, girl, you're 74. No, I'm not.
So it's thermostat that's out.
No, the thermostat, I finally figured out this weekend when it wouldn't heat the house. I'm like, okay, what is wrong with this thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I end up calling the customer service and talk through programming settings that the installer does.
Right.
I guess when Travis moved the thermostat from the hallway to the living room at the summer when he replaced the board, he's like, we really should move this because it's too close to the return air duct and it's probably, you know, not operating correctly because it doesn't know the temperature of the house. It's whatever.
Right.
So we should move it out here. I might do whatever. Okay, fine. Just tell me where it is when you're done. And so he moved it, and apparently in that, it lost its little settings, and
okay,
that explains the schizophrenia of the couple of weeks in September, because it thought it had a dual system, it thought it had a heat pump also, it thought it didn't know it was a forced air gas furnace, you know, it's all this stuff. So I got that all corrected and I'm like, yay, set it on heat, turn it on, nothing happens. And they're like, the thermostat is behaving properly now, so you need to get somebody to come look at your unit. So I called Travis and I said, look, I know that you're going to come by after work, and I know that it's crazy town for you right now because we've had our cold snap. Everybody's going, oh, shit, my furnace isn't working right.
Right.
I know you're busy. So I've got a space heater. I will be fine. Put me on your list. Come by when it's convenient, whatever.
Right.
So he came by today and got it fixed, got it going, and I am sitting here like not used to having heat in the house because, you know, I've been bundled up in hoodies and stuff for the last three weeks. I'm getting the vapors, Gail. I'm getting the vapors.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And it's after midnight. It's so weird to look outside, see darkness, and be hot.
Right.
So what's going to bring you back to the States? What's your plan? How long are you going to be not with us?
Well, I'm here till April. I get to come home April of 2022. And they've asked me if I want to come back here. And rather than say no, because my first inclination is to say, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to buy a house when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that, but then I got to furnish it and I got to pay for it. So I may have to do another assignment, but I'm planning to be home for at least 2 to 3 months before I come back out.
That'd be good.
And once I am acclimated to the change in time, you know, I have a 2018 Audi that has less than 10,000 miles on it.
You sound like me buying my little Spark last year.
Uh-huh.
It's a 2016 and I bought it 2 years ago now with 14,000 miles on it. Already 4 years old.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love that. I know why yours is like that. Probably somebody like you had my little Spark before me.
So I am going to put my car on the road.
Woo! I guess that means Oklahoma's getting a pin on your map.
Absolutely. You will see me. You will see me.
Cool. So that's next summer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely.
I could get the house clean by then. I wish I was all the way joking about that, but.
Well, yeah. So, my dear, it's been fun to talk to you.
It has been.
And I look forward to, we will do it again before I get back.
Okay, cool. I'll hold you to that.
Absolutely.
All right, my sweet. Well, I'm sounding incredibly intelligent right now.
You are tired. You've got to be tired. And I don't know that we talked about everything we had planned to talk about.
No.
But we talked about what needed to be talked about. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. All right. Well, I reserve the right to have you back for another episode so we can.
Absolutely.
Once we've both had a chance to listen to this one, we go like, girls, what were you thinking? What?
You may not want to put this one up on your podcast, but we'll see how it goes.
Oh, you crazy woman. Thank you, though, for doing this with me.
You are welcome. I have enjoyed it thoroughly.
If you're hell-bent on wringing every last drop of awesome out of this life and the time you have here, I invite you to visit SuzanneSaysPodcast.com for more conversations and to subscribe. If you'd like to be a guest and have a conversation, email me at letstalk@SuzanneSaysPodcast.com. Thanks for listening.